Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the halftime show you've been looking for that hasn't been booked yet.
You ready for that one?
Yeah, just thinking about it right here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. my name's Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yes. Happy, finally, February.
Yeah.
January was extremely long.
I know. Sorry for all of you who cannot share any more January memes, but they were funny if you did.
Yes. We are back with a good show today. We got a lot going on.
Yeah. Speaking of good shows, the Super Bowl was last night.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Yeah. And how did you feel about it?
I liked it. You know, I'm not like a huge fan of the NFL, but I thought it was really good. I liked all the commercials geared towards erasing inequality. Mm-hmm. And we shared this on our stories as well, or you did, but Katie Sowers, the first female coach, the first openly gay coach to be present at a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I liked the commercial featuring her. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was good. I was leaning more towards San Francisco because of her, but I was happy for Kansas City.
Yeah.
I like Patrick Mahomes, so.
That's great.
I loved the halftime show.
Okay, so I was feeling so meh about the halftime show because I'm not.
What?
Going into it, I'm like, I literally don't care, and it feels like these two aren't super relevant.
I felt the opposite.
So I was just like, I'm really probably not even going to watch it. But then was cooking last night, had it on. I will watch football of any form with mm-hmm. people playing. I was blown away by the halftime show.
J-Lo was just in Hustlers, though. She was like passed up for an Oscar nomination. She's pretty relevant, at least.
She's relevant in her acting right now, but she hasn't been relevant in her music for a while.
Yeah, so, but in the movie, she's a performer, so I thought it made sense.
Yeah, I it made sense to me that they were in Miami, so
yes,
doing that.
Yes,
but
yes.
I felt like in terms of they weren't, neither Shakira nor J-Lo are like old enough to be like a throwback, like when Aerosmith performs.
Right.
But they aren't current enough
right.
to be not. However, minus some very pornographic tendencies of that show and lots of vagina shots that I really didn't need, they were incredible. And
yeah.
I can dance like Shakira if I wanted to. I just don't want to. So.
Well, and you could be a millionaire. I've heard she's extremely, extremely
incredibly
wealthy.
Incredibly wealthy. But I did think it was a very lively celebration.
It was.
Of,
it was so much better. To me, I'm like, oh my gosh, now I care about the halftime show. The exact opposite of you. Because I never care when it's like an older act. I don't care for Justin Timberlake. So
no, I don't either.
When he was on there, I was so mad anyway.
Too.
I think
me
we
too.
Talked about yeah. we talked about that, right?
Yes. That was in the lifetime of this podcast.
Okay. Well, it's funny, like last night they all reminded me how mad in the rant I went on when he went back on.
I'm re-mad.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I was almost re-mad because they're like, Justin Timberlake was back on, and they're like, no, you've already lost it about this. And I'm like, okay, then I won't again, but I could easily. I just completely forgot. To me, he is a very forgettable artist. But I'm
at Hannah about that. While I agree, she's the one who said it.
I thought it was fantastic. I just liked that for a show that was like about football, which is typically like they're always trying to gear it towards men. I feel like, you know, with like the commercials, historically it's like men watch football, women are there for the commercials.
Oh yeah, that drives me crazy.
Right.
In our household, I am there for the football and
right.
David's there for the commercials.
Exactly. Well, and that's also not true. Like everyone of any situation I know, I don't really know anyone who like doesn't care at all or won't sit and watch it at least, you
yeah.
know, like, or at least like hang out. It's annoying. But I just like that they were like commercials about inequality. And I also, you know, J-Lo and Shakira are 50 and 43, which
yeah.
I think is cool because they're
yes,
not, like
very.
You said, they're not like old, I guess like
decrepit.
I'm picturing Steven Tyler.
Yeah. No, that's how I, like, yes, totally feel the
when
same
I say,
way.
They're not old. They're not like Steven Tyler, you know. Like
yeah.
they're not like a like
oldies music.
Yes, exactly. And they're also not like really, really young. Like they are that kind of performance really helps to combat this notion that like once you're out of your early to mid 20s, your sex appeal is done, which I think is so prevalent.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right about that. Except I do think they're also 40 and 53. Is that what you said that they were?
43 and 50. Shakira's 43.
Yes,
J-Lo's 50.
Okay.
50. She's 50.
I do think.
I don't understand.
Like, as incredible as the show was, and it was, mm-hmm. I was dancing to, I loved it. They're just, I would love for us to also have some great spectacles and performances that don't involve pornographic dancing.
But why is it pornographic?
Well, I mean, rolling around a stripper pole feels fairly like...
But I mean, it's also blatant. Like just dancing. Like there's not like people like throwing money at them on the stage. Like they're just celebrating actually, a skill.
Arguably, they did get money thrown at them to be on the stage.
I know, but I mean like...
But
it's just like there's a big online movement towards like accepting women like expressing themselves. However,
I'm fine with them expressing themselves. I think that is empowering for them. But I got texts from several friends who have young sons who felt like they were not comfortable telling their sons like, look at this great dancing. And part of it was the production of the camera shots that were mm-hmm. more explicit than maybe they needed to be.
Right.
It also felt like a very strange move to go from like wrapped around a stripper pole to like little kids lit up in like globes that I felt like, you know, we can have a great production that don't involve lots of women in very little clothes.
Right.
Writhing. I wasn't offended, but it did make me really aware of like dancing is great, but the showcase of bodies and the need for bodies to look a certain way, because every single woman dancing on that stage mm-hmm. had what we would arguably call like a perfect body.
Right.
That like we can say acceptance and equality and all of that, but we didn't see anyone who wasn't toned, lean,
right,
honed to say like be empowered and feel great about your body.
Yeah, true.
When at 43 and 50 you right. look this way. I don't know. I loved it.
Right. That's true.
I was really well aware that if my daughters were like heavier,
right,
I would have a harder time explaining like,
yeah,
you too can do this,
right,
when you look
right,
this right. way.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
And what bothered me more was that J-Lo's daughter was there.
Because oh, I thought I'm it was like, really cool when she came out. And then she like sang to like Let's Get Loud with like all those other young girls. I liked that meme that Amanda sent us either last night or this morning. We both saw this morning.
Yeah.
That was like the switch from, what was it? The switch from pole dancing to children on stage was the fastest play of this game by far. Or like something like that.
It was. I'm also, though, eye-rolly at celebrity kids being pushed into the spotlight in a big way. Because I'm like, you child have done nothing except you were born to two famous parents. So you would not be in the Super Bowl performance if it weren't for your parents.
Yeah. I just thought it was a cool moment.
I thought it was sweet.
I've seen her, like, training her daughter and, like, practicing with her online. And I thought it was cool to see her, like, out just a little bit with, like, all these other girls.
Yeah.
I don't know who they were or anything. But it was a cool moment. The stage was kind of trippy. Like when it like fell away.
I loved it.
If I was on there right now, like dancing. I mean, obviously they've practiced so many times, but like you look at it and I'm like, huh, like it looks like it's falling away.
Yeah, the projection mapping, it was really great.
Yeah, it was altogether like just a livelier performance like that I cared about.
Yeah.
And even like talking about it, I care about talking about it. Yeah. I just have not really in a long time cared about that.
Yeah, I would say that of the last 5 years of performances that mm-hmm. I can think of, it was far and away the best.
Yeah.
I just wanted to raise some flags about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all good points. The other thing is those two are the first ever solely Latinx-led halftime show.
Yeah, I read that. That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And like they're in Miami, like a cool city and environment and like stuff to celebrate them. So
how do you feel about OJ Simpson being included in the Super Bowl tribute that they did?
Oh, I didn't see that happen. What? Really?
Yeah. He was included in a pregame tribute during the Super Bowl. The NFL recently named him one of the 100 greatest players, but he wasn't at the ceremony for that on Sunday. But they did include his name, his picture, a graphic.
Oh, because it's 100 years of the NFL.
Yes. Yeah. With his picture on screen. And so there's like a group of people who felt like that was in bad taste.
I have very poor opinions of the NFL as an organization as a whole. So that does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Like, as a whole, my biggest complaint with them is their lack of what I feel like is coming down on the right side of history and a lot of things, like properly punishing domestic domestic violence offenders and kind of perpetuating more of a I prefer the way the NBA handles protest and things like that more than the NFL, which I feel like panders more to a thriving patriarchy. So I did see a lot of improvements in the commercials this year, which I liked, but it does not make me a fan overall of the NFL. So I don't know if that was their PR department saying, let's change some things, or just people having kick-ass ads like Secret. Mm-hmm. And what was the one that had Carly Lloyd and Crystal Dunn? I don't even remember the brand. Was that the Secret one?
I honestly didn't watch any of the commercials.
It was very good. There was a bunch of very good. There was at least three I can think of without any without any further thought. There was at least three. So I don't know. I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm torn on it. I was surprised just because it felt like a choice that someone had to make, that if you're going to feature.
Yes.
But I would also say, while I think that O.J. Simpson is garbage, if you look at it, he was legally acquitted of killing his wife. So in theory.
And that other guy, right? Huh? And the guy.
Oh, yeah. Ron Goldman. In theory, there would be no reason not to include his picture because he was acquitted.
Yeah.
Do I think he's still a criminal? Yes. He was in jail for a long time for his Las Vegas incident. And I fully believe that he killed his wife and Ron Goldman. However, if we are looking at legal,
he was not acquitted, a murderer.
So there would be no reason. It would be like anyone else being accused of something and not being convicted of it.
Right.
It does feel a little tone deaf, though, because obviously, he's mired in a lot of scandal, but there are a lot of NFL players mired in a lot of scandals.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's something that you can talk about, when you talk about, would you still listen to an R. Kelly song or whatever?
Right.
Or a Michael Jackson song. I think that one's a better example. He was not convicted of anything. Michael Jackson, let's say.
Right. Yeah, R. Kelly is currently on trial. Yeah, so
that's not a good example. But Michael Jackson, can we all agree that he was a creep? Yep.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change that I really like his music.
Right.
And I can kind of separate those two. Same with O.J. Simpson. He was a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
What he did after does not change that he was an excellent athlete.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, could they have steered away from it? Sure. But
Yeah. Was there not someone
else? I'm sure there was one other player that they could have named, if you're looking at the 98th or 99th spot, just go ahead and name somebody else.
Yeah. Was he that low?
I don't know. I don't know that they ranked them in that spot. Okay. I think they were just.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you're anywhere below 75, let's just sub literally anyone else in.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of athletes, I didn't catch this, but I believe both teams came out and stood on the 24th yard line for Kobe last night.
Yes, they did.
And did you catch the Lakers tribute to him at all Friday night?
No, you told me about it, and I caught some recaps on Instagram.
Okay, but I didn't know if you'd seen anything. It was beautiful on Friday night. The Lakers did a tribute to Kobe before their first game since he's passed, and his daughter and the other victims of that tragic helicopter crash. And I was bawling the whole time. It was so moving and so sad, and I just it keeps hitting me. It's it keeps hitting me.
Yeah.
And it's just that weird, it wasn't not obsessed with Kobe Bryant. It's not like I have, I don't know, followed his career as much. Passan definitely has more, but it's so weird. And I know it's because not only does he just seem such a powerful force for good in the world today, but it's because of his daughter.
Yeah.
It keeps,
that's 100% it.
It keeps throwing me off. Sometimes I just stop and I think about Vanessa or something. And it's just such a... But anyway, I like to see them, all of those victims being honored still.
Agreed.
At all of these events. And I believe... I think all of their names were up on a screen last night. I might be wrong. I thought I saw that.
Okay.
So, I'm glad to see everyone getting equal attention for that.
That's great.
Also, on Friday, Jessica Mann began her testimony against Harvey Weinstein.
Oh.
She and one other person, I can't remember, are the main rape cases that yes. are being charged against Harvey Weinstein. So other people have been giving supporting evidence, but like her saying, like, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein, and another person are the main like mm-hmm. counts being charged against him. So on Friday, she was questioned by the prosecution, and on today, Monday, mm-hmm. so by the time this comes out, 2 days ago, she'll be cross-examined by Harvey Weinstein's team. And her testimony on Friday was so, I don't even know, there's so many words I could say.
Yeah.
Did you read any of
it? No, I haven't.
So she was saying, they kept calling her former actor. She looked very familiar. I don't know if I've seen her in anything.
Did you IMDb her? That's
I did
all
not.
I ever do.
I know, me too. I did not at the time. I was reading an article. I like couldn't stop reading. Yeah. And so she was basically saying, I won't get into like all of the graphic details here. You should definitely look it up if I don't know. I recommend knowing about this case.
Yeah.
But so she was saying he forced himself on her. He forced oral sex on her after the same thing of like calling her to her hotel room, mm-hmm. Convincing her to give him massages yeah. and all of this. Like, you know, it kind of led up to him having her in a position like that.
Yeah.
And after that, like after he forced himself on her in different ways, I think after he actually raped her, mm-hmm. she talks about how she felt really bad for him because of like his body.
Oh.
Like, she was like, I still, you know, like, because, you know, of course, they ask, of course, like, well, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you do anything? Or, like, what was the thought process? And she was like, well, I just felt like he just had so much anger issues. And, like, looking, he had, like, not a great body. And I felt like he felt bad about that. So I didn't want to upset him.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it was just a crazy... It was a crazy thing to read.
Yeah.
Like, just this position that she was put in, and that I think a lot of women are put in more on different levels of, mm-hmm. like, you don't want to be the one to upset someone.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the short story, Cat Person, by Kristen Rupenian, that I've talked about a long time ago on here, that's really about, like, a young woman dating kind of casually, mm-hmm. and then, like, sometimes... she ends up have, or at least in this case, there's one person that she ends up having sex with because she feels badly. Like, she feels like there's no way she can comfortably get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, at this point, it'd be easier to just do it than, yeah. Like,
remove
myself from this situation.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a rough position.
Absolutely.
And how do we raise girls that don't care about, like, mm-hmm. people's opinions to that extent? Because, like, she obviously, some of it was he was threatening her. A lot of it was he was threatening her. She was afraid of how angry he was. And when she finally tried to break things off with him, he became very violent with her.
Gosh.
It's a horrible story. There are many levels of feeling like you can't say no to someone. Yeah. And I think for that reason, that's part of a reason why I'm not going to say no to any kind of like female empowerment,
sure.
like the halftime show. Like, I'd rather my daughter end up like J-Lo, mm-hmm. you know, and that kind yeah. of than Jessica Mann.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather her. I mean, that's J-Lo is at the height of her career. It's a bad. I'm not comparing like these two people in
sure.
real life, but I'm saying like,
yeah.
I'd rather you not feel like you had to be in a situation where you had to say yes to someone for mm-hmm. anything. Anyway, it's an awful, awful situation. And as they were asking Harvey Weinstein, when like reporters were like, what did you think about what she said? What did you think about what she said about your body? He kind of smirked, of course. And he was like, just wait till Monday when basically he was saying like, when my lawyers get a hold of her. So today is that day.
So already like intimidating her.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, you know, he probably feels quite put on the spot
yeah.
by these like graphic descriptions of his body. But oh, well, you shouldn't have raped people and been violent and aggressive with them. But I don't know. I'm sending lots of support to her today.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine being sexually assaulted or being raped or something like that at all, first of all.
Right.
But then having to go and stand in front of all these people and fight for why your story, like, matters and why it's real. Like, yes, it's part of the process that, like, they have to defend him.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, just courage to survivors and victims.
Yeah, and I just Googled it while you were talking, so obviously I'm now an expert on this.
Sure.
But there's an article by Slate about the headline is, "The Weinstein Trial isn't the first high-profile case to feature a graphic description of the defendant's genitals."
Mm-hmm.
And from a podcast I'd listened to, I knew this was true. That in Jeffrey Epstein's case, mm-hmm. the women all had to describe his penis to be taken seriously, which was described as egg-shaped. So it was like some kind of, which I can't even picture what that is. So whatever.
Seems like he really should have gotten checked out by a doctor.
Yes. For many reasons.
Right. Yeah.
Michael Jackson's 13-year-old accuser also had to describe his genitals in a lot of detail.
Yeah.
And I feel like, while yes, we should just be able to talk about bodies, like, it's not emotionally tied to things, that to me is such a vulnerable position to be asked to do about somebody that you're already traumatized by. Like, okay, well, now we need you to give us extremely detailed descriptions of this person's genitals. That it's like, well, furthermore, this just feels incredibly degrading.
Yes.
Because especially in cross-examination, exactly, right? Like,
well,
how many penises have you seen to know that this one looks different?
Right,
you know, like,
I think
there will be cases proven against that.
Yeah.
As a segue, I watched Taylor Swift's documentary, Miss Americana, twice this weekend.
Twice?
Yes. One by myself, one with David last night. And I'm still mad at you that you haven't watched it yet.
I
do not care about it.
I couldn't find time.
It doesn't matter to me. You should have watched it. But she spends quite a bit of time talking about her sexual assault case where she was groped in a photograph. It was a radio DJ who was basically like put his hand up her skirt during a photo being taken.
Right.
She complained to his bosses about it. They fired him. He sued her for millions of dollars. So she countersued him for $1.
Right.
Which is like such a badass move.
Right.
And she's talking about the trial and how affected she was by it and having to be there and defending herself. And she said, "In my case, there were 7 witnesses and a photo. What happens to someone who has no witnesses and no photo?"
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, the way that he paid people to lie for him, you know?
Yeah.
And so thankfully I was believed, but I have influence.
Right.
Like, I'm a notable person. There were 7 witnesses in a photo. So she's like, that when you watch it, you'll see, but that was a huge catalyst for her making a stand and breaking free of not talking about politics.
Uh-huh.
Was feeling so moved by her experience and wanting to make sure that other people without those same things had the strength to move forward. And so this is one of those situations that it's like, what do you do when you have less influence and it's your word against his?
Right. Especially because he targeted people like that on purpose.
Totally.
You know, because he's a predator and he did that on purpose. Like, he was not targeting like the J-Lo's and the...
Do you know if Georgina Chapman, his wife, is going to have to appear?
I do not know.
That is a fascinating relationship
to me. It is fascinating. Is she still his wife?
I don't know. I was about to...
I don't know for sure.
No, but I think that she divorced him, but they were married during this time.
Yeah.
Well, during much of this later.
Part of her testimony was, like, he gave me a Marquesa dress.
Yeah.
Georgina Chapman is the head of... it's her label. Marquesa is her label.
Yeah,
Marquesa. And... So her name comes up. I almost feel like they'll have to pull her in to be like,
yeah,
did he do all these things? Like, if he's gifting people with like her products and he was her husband, Doi.
Yeah. Yeah. They,
like, they're going to have to bring her in to say, like, is it true? Was he aggressive with you? Was he violent with you? Like,
yeah. What did he promise you?
Right. Exactly.
They did get divorced. I did forget about that.
Okay. Good for her.
Yeah.
Today is the 3rd. Wednesday will be the 5th. Is the beginning of Black History Month.
Yes.
And so this month I'm making an effort to focus more on Black artists and authors.
Yeah.
By more, I mean like fully with authors, mm-hmm. And a lot more with artists. I only say not 100% with music because the Frozen 2 soundtrack is non-negotiable.
Yeah, which, I mean,
so
no one would hold you.
Exactly. That's the only way to keep the peace at some points. But it's a good time to kind of expand our education more so.
Yeah.
There's a great book that we were talking about at the meetup. I can't believe we haven't brought up the meetup yet.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about the meetup with Rachel and Tara. There's a book called Lies My Teacher Told Me that is fantastic and really talks about, like, you know, a lot of the events we were taught about in history and how, like, things that we were not taught about them, plus a lot of things we were never taught. It's a great book. But other than that, like, it's important to educate ourselves about Black history without saying to any Black people we know,
yeah,
tell me about your history.
Right.
Something like that. So I follow Rachel Cargle on Instagram, uh-huh. Cargle. And she is a public academic writer and lecturer per her bio.
Yep.
And she is putting up prompts for Black History Month are basically like, you go and like do research about this topic.
Oh, neat.
Like, not like, let me educate you. Mm-hmm. Because it, you know, Black History Month is not for the white people.
Right.
It's and I think that's one of her ways of saying that. Like, she's saying, you guys go and look this up and come. And then she says, come back here and tell me like something that you learned that you didn't know. So that's a good step in the right direction if you're kind of looking for ways to learn a little bit more and not be offensive.
That's great.
Which I always try and do, and I encourage you to do as well.
That's great. Awesome.
So, oh, and thank you to everyone who came out to our meetup on Friday night.
Yes, it was Wednesday night.
I don't know. My days are gone. Last Wednesday was so much fun.
It was
the best time.
Yes, it was awesome.
And I don't know. I laughed a whole lot. I was shocked a whole lot by some of the things that we were talking about. And which is a lot of fun. Thanks.
Yeah, and we'll do another one. We'll keep you posted. I had several people shoot us messages on Instagram that they had last-minute sick kids, and obviously we understand that. We got hung up at work. But it's definitely something that we want to do again, so we'll keep you posted.
Yes. So, but for now, we'll take a quick break and then get back.
All right. Okay, so we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
About why you shouldn't do anything you love.
Yes.
So
you come here for motivation, we know.
But we started talking about, and we've talked about before, why you shouldn't monetize every hobby.
Yes, which
is something that I refuse to actually wrap my arms around because I just want to monetize everything. But I've been feeling very much lately like we are doing kids a disservice twofold. By one, telling them they can do anything, because I really did try to dance like Shakira and J-Lo last night, and I cannot, despite what anyone has told me in my
elementary assuming they
days.
Have more than 10 to 15 minutes of practice, to be fair.
Well, to be fair, I do too, and it's still not working. But I just think to say you can do anything, be anything, and the quote, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life is incredibly misleading.
Yes.
Even to adults. And I want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yes. When you said, I really want to talk about the fallacy of living your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like stuck with me because I'm just like, that's such a good point. Like, if you think about it, where I want to get to with this discussion is here. Your goal, like what you currently have, someone else is dying for.
Oh, totally.
And, so many times we don't live in that, like with that realization. And, like, you know, I remember a time where like my ultimate goal was to be a mom.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not living now. Like,
you're living that dream.
Right. Like, I'm living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's a lot of examples of that in my life, and I'm sure in all of our lives. Like, you know, when I was younger, like my goal was like I really wanted to get married. Like I remember when that was like my biggest frustration when I was young. Like I was younger and not engaged yet.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Like, it's not that we shouldn't have these goals and dreams, but it's more like work on your mindset of the now.
Yeah,
that's more accepting.
Well,
of your current situation.
Yeah, and I think in a professional setting, too, like, when you ask kids what they want to be, like, few kids would be like, middle management at some, like, generically corporate
right.
role.
Right.
You know, we, like, prompt them to want to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Perform in a
Go
halftime
to the moon.
Show.
Yeah.
Things that, like, it's very cute to hear small children say.
Right.
But are we really setting them up to feel like anything below that
is okay.
substandard?
Yeah.
For instance, I'm marketing director of a nonprofit. I would not have said, like, this is my dream job.
Right, right.
However, there are a lot of things about this job that are a dream that
right.
I never would have qualified in that way. I have
right.
an incredibly flexible schedule. I have a lot of autonomy in what I do.
Right.
I work for a place where family really does come first. All of those things that on paper, it is a dream job. But
right.
even at 33, feeling like I'm in that place, there is a lot of pressure of what's next.
Mm-hmm.
What are you
mm-hmm.
looking toward?
Right.
What am I moving toward in a 5-year goal?
Right.
Well, it's fine. But I think that's true that, like, parenting, for instance, that's all we've mm-hmm. ever, like you said, all we've ever wanted. It doesn't make it not hard.
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
with work.
And the hard thing, too, is that goals are frequently based around success. And I don't think we, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. I don't think we elevate successfully raising kids to the level of like a goal that it needs to be. If you're a stay at home mom and you feel like you raise good human beings,
yes. Yes.
like that should be a giant goal. But because like society doesn't monetize that, you know,
yeah.
for example, and because you typically lose money by being a stay-at-home mom
yeah.
or something like that, it's almost like that doesn't become like a viable goal. Like our goals are typically like around achieving more monetary success
right.
or recognition or something like that. And when you're doing something that's inherently like lower recognized, what's
yeah.
the word for like when you, moms, how we feel all the time. Like, no one knows what we do.
Haggard, tired.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Almost there.
I feel like it's hard to understand that you're living the dream
mm-hmm.
because you also have to combat, like, no, wait, everything is still fine. I just feel like it's not fine because I'm not, like, in a Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, and I think it is misplacing the expectation of the feeling when you're there, right?
Yes, like, yes, yes.
So all we picture are, like, the moments of glory after
right.
Mahomes wins the Super Bowl.
Right.
Right after Shakira and J-Lo
mm-hmm.
perform. Actually, not to like plug Miss Americana again, but Taylor Swift does talk about this in a really good way. But that's what we see. And
right.
that's the thing that we want. We don't really want to play 4 quarters of the game or like
that's
be
so good.
Completely out of breath at the end of
yeah.
like, working our tails off on the stage.
Right. We don't see the daily.
No, we want
yeah.
the glory of
yeah.
it. And so that's, I think, how it is with, like, having kids. Like, we want the moment after childbirth where our baby is laid on our chest. And,
yes,
like,
yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it's everything that comes after. Same with the marriage. Like, even
yeah.
if you are looking towards, I'm invested in my marriage, I'm not just looking at my wedding.
Right.
Ultimately, what you're, the feeling that you want is
right.
your wedding day.
Yes.
And so I think that there's this weird, like, dream equals, and then
mm-hmm.
for us, we're just capturing momentary joy.
Right.
That is what
equals
our dream.
And then it's like
dream.
On to the next thing.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so then it's like, oh, well, this is it. And so.
Right. You can't just live in whatever comes.
Right. And so for a child, if you're setting them up for this feeling.
Right.
They're going to be very disappointed. And I think that's where a lot
right.
of us end up feeling like, oh, I woke up and this is my life.
Right.
Every day.
Yes. What was the quote you said?
Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Right. Yeah. Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life is kind of, I feel like it kind of like kicks you in the
groin.
Feet. I don't know. Yes, 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 yes. I don't know why I said feet.
Feet feels like a really dangerous part.
It trips you up.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to say. It trips you up. Thank you for helping me on that journey.
Yeah, sure.
Because it gives you like an ideal of like, oh, well, I should be enjoying whatever I'm doing. Like
right.
hard work isn't like, oh, if I'm working hard or I'm
yeah,
struggling.
If I'm striving, then.
Right. If I'm striving for something.
I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe this isn't my passion. And then
yeah.
like we go into the whole, like we have such a focus on passion rather than like, all right, but what's going to put food on your family's table?
Completely.
And that's a whole, oh, go ahead.
Oh, and then let's say you are doing something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Like We love doing this podcast.
Yes.
I hope. Putting you on the spot. we really love doing this podcast. However, both of us this morning were like, do we want to do it on
right,
a different
right,
day?
Right.
We didn't
right.
love waking up early.
Right.
You edit for a few hours after. I don't. But that doesn't, like, to get one, to right. put out this podcast, we have to do those things. And right. it doesn't negate the
yes.
other.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so, I don't know, like, at any part of any job,
yeah,
parenting in the office is going to have an element of something that you don't love.
Right.
Like, I don't
right.
like that I'm constantly tidying the same four things
exactly.
in my house and never moving ahead. But that's
yes.
part of doing what I love, which is being with my kids. I don't love filling out expense reports in my job.
Right.
But I do it because that's a necessary part of what I have to do.
Right.
So I think, again, it's doing a disservice to people to say, like, you're going to love it. Like,
yes,
if you're loving
every
it, you
step
will,
of the way.
Right. Because then, right, when it does feel like drudgery, it's like, well, I either feel tricked
yeah.
or the
defeated.
Problem is on me.
Yeah, I think you can feel really defeated because it's like, well, I do feel like I'm doing this work. I just think you could feel really defeated by saying, like, well, I am struggling, so this isn't it. Like,
mm-hmm.
if, or like, even, you know, it can take you a while. No one's story looks the same. Or maybe it's not even, maybe you're not even happy doing any of it. Maybe
right.
your job sucks, but you get to live a certain lifestyle because of it.
Right.
Or
because
something
you don't,
like that.
Or, yeah, you just don't have a choice. So,
right.
like,
yes, yes, yes.
Just do that.
Right.
Like,
yeah, you're not failing because you are doing what you need to do.
Well, and there is an end goal. I mean, at church yesterday, our pastor told this story that I actually thought was so timely, and it was a great reminder for me about he was eating dinner at his mom's house and looked up from where they were eating this week and saw a platinum record on hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So our church puts out music, and one of the singles went platinum. And he was like, there was no other place to hang that except my mom's wall, because she figured out a way for me to go to guitar lessons when we could not possibly afford guitar lessons, figuring out a barter with the person who gave lessons. And then
yeah.
when I got better than he could give me, she spent all Christmas dipping pine cones in scented wax to sell at Christmas bazaars so that I could go to these things. She didn't love doing that.
Right.
But now, basically, like, she turned it, he said it in like a quippy way, but she turned pine cones into platinum. Like,
right.
she didn't see the payoff of that in her life, but it elevated me to be able to do this thing. And now
right.
she should share the reward of, now here's a thing that was achieved because of what she put into all of those years ago
right.
by investing in me. And I'm like, that's a really, that's
really good.
Yeah. And I was like, that was such an encouraging thing, is I'm like figuring out another side hustle to like
yeah.
add, or
yeah.
making meals until midnight for families because it gives us some extra money during
right.
the week, where I'm like, well, this is going to allow us to do things or help discover what my kids love and find their talent.
Right.
But I want to be responsible about it and not be like, oh, I see that you're good at art, therefore you're going to be a great artist.
Right,
like,
right, right.
I don't know. They can do whatever. Maybe they like science better. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's very easy for me in general to think, if I had this, like if I achieved this, then I'd be happy.
Yes.
But looking back, I have a lot of things I've said that about.
Yeah.
So why am I not happy? I am happy. But like, you know what I mean? Like, why am I not, I'm not an unhappy person, I guess. That's not the point. But like, why am I not acting and living as if I have achieved like my greatest goals? Because
well,
truly, like having kids is something that many people are dying for.
Yes.
And I have it, so like, why am I, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and again, that's something that I've explored really recently, is I've like tried to constantly assess my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Of I think that even saying like you should have joy does a disservice to joy, because again, the moment that you picture is like the happiest time that you can imagine, like where you've had these fleeting moments,
okay,
or
yeah.
temporary,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was so happy on my wedding day, let's say.
Right,
like,
right, right.
I just remember being so happy. And so to me, if I'm not feeling that exact way
right.
every day,
mm-hmm.
then something must be wrong.
Right.
Because I think it's okay to feel this underlying fine about things, like,
yeah.
quote unquote, of I don't have to feel this peak of, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Right.
I think there's a way to figure out how to live in, like, my baseline
right.
is happy with how I am, but that doesn't mean that I cannot feel frustrated or
right.
Discouraged or tired.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that, But I think, and I don't think it's even happiness or joy. I think it's figuring out where the gratitude is that is really the baseline. Like,
I agree.
If I am thankful for what is in my life, then I can feel every pit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to come back to I'm thankful for it without needing to have the disclaimer of I love my kids, but, or I'm thankful for my job, but.
Right.
Because you just know, like, of course I am.
Yeah, I think that's really good. So I think it's tempering the expectations at the beginning and also passing on appropriate expectations to your kids and to the next generation and to other people. Totally. Like, you know, not trying to hide what really is going on. Like, I tell my kids that it can be really hard to, like, I can have a really hard time. Like, and also that we have to work really hard to, so that they can do basketball and dance and, like, all of these things. Like, we can't just sit around and do everything. If they want to do activities, which they do, and we want them to do, I mean, I don't pass it off that way. If you want to do this, then we can never hang out.
Yeah, you'll never see mommy again.
You will never spend family time. I mean, there's, it's just like the fine line of like explaining the way things really are rather than saying like I know of relationships that have failed because someone had expectations that the way they felt at the very beginning is how
would be the way
is how you should feel every single day. And at least one person didn't feel that way. So they thought that meant the marriage was over.
Well, and I think to that point, I think none of us can expect, let's say we're both almost 8 years into marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't possibly tell our 8 years ago selves how we were going to feel 8 years from now.
Right.
And that's okay.
Like, yeah, yes, yes.
I fully expected to always feel exactly how I felt. Even if I would have said, like, I know it's going to be hard. I know I won't always feel this way. When that's how you're feeling,
right?
You're not going to tell it yourself any other way. But it's like when people tell you in the store, like, cherish every moment.
Right.
Your favorite. Cherish every moment.
Right.
It's going to go too fast.
Yeah.
Memory is a really, like, great thing to have because it whitewashes a lot of things away.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, what you will remember about the newborn days, now that your kids are a little bit removed from that, is going to be different than you felt during it.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. But that's a great thing that you're going to be like, wow. That was the golden time.
Yes.
And I won't get that back again.
Yeah.
But if you're ready to not get that back again, that's great. Then what you have are the really lovely memories of it.
Right. But I also think, I think that it's still important to, like, pass along, like, realism. Reality.
Yeah, totally. Realism, totally.
Reality. Because, like, there are so many things that fail because people don't feel like they thought they should feel.
Yeah. I am agreeing with you. I'm just saying perspective is harder.
Definitely. I guess the perspective, I share perspective. Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah.
Like, maybe talk more about it because otherwise it's like, you know, otherwise I think people can see you as an ideal, right? Like, you know, people can see you as Patrick Mahomes on the night he wins the Super Bowl as a 24-year-old.
Coming from behind.
Right. Yes. Rather than Patrick Mahomes every day as he works for this, every day as he was growing up, and, you know, every day all and the whole team. I'm just obviously talking.
Right. But I
know it's a team effort.
We get it. Don't talk to us about football.
Right.
But even before the last 7 minutes when he led this comeback, thinking about how defeated he must have felt.
Right.
In the pressure he must have felt of Kansas City doesn't often get to Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been 54 years.
Yeah,
50 or 54 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, we're down X amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's on me. You know,
yes.
That pressure, like, when we're picturing it, it's like, whew, that feels inspiring. But probably it felt really not great on the sideline.
Yeah.
But
I felt like I could see that, too, in his face a little bit. Because he's so young.
Yes.
I really felt like, can he pull this off? Like, this is so much pressure. Yeah. And he did, and that's great. But in those moments when he, like, threw a pass that was intercepted or was sacked or, like, there are moments that he and the team fell behind, and that must have felt so defeating.
Yeah.
Like, he came out of that within a span of minutes. That will not always happen for us.
Right.
But it's just important to remember that, like, you still have to keep going somehow.
Well, and it also means that another team didn't reach their dream.
Right, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they didn't do an incredible job to get to the Super Bowl.
Right,
and so there is also that side of it. Of like, well, what if you almost did?
I know. I was thinking about that, too, because I kind of I'm like, okay, if the 49ers don't win, is it going to be something about, like, well, like, is that going to look bad on Katie Sowers?
Yes.
And all of this. Like, just the unfairness of a lot of competition in general by way of the fact that you don't remember as much the good performances mm-hmm. of the
individuals.
Quote losers yes. and the individuals and all of that. Like, you are measured by Super Bowl rings, you are measured mm-hmm. by championships, you are measured by what is the, like, cum laude,
oh yeah yeah,
like achievements mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like, you're measured by being the cream of the crop, but you got to have everyone else to yeah. make all those things happen.
Well, and you think about the number of people who would say that their dream is playing in a Super Bowl.
Right. Right.
That's a very, like, that's incredible.
Right.
But then you start to temper it of, like, well, maybe my dream was to win a Super Bowl, not right, just play.
Right.
So then you start to minimize even in your head, like, well, I didn't get there. But you did get there. Mm-hmm. You did get there.
Oh, you got to a Super Bowl.
Right.
Like,
which very few people.
Right.
I've never done it.
Right. Personally, myself, I have not. You got to an NBA championship. You got to the Final Four.
And
you
maybe,
got to something. Yeah, like,
and maybe it, you got to motherhood.
Yes.
You got
yes,
to
yes.
any employed job.
Yes. You got a paycheck.
It. You did it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that's another piece of it is the what comes after you achieve that. That
right.
also, like, again, Miss Americana. And also the Aaron Hernandez case. Again, I'm making all these draws with Aaron Hernandez, who
yeah.
is not a great person. But I don't think we do much to teach people of what to do after, to either sustain
yeah.
that
yeah.
or to move to the next thing and have a new dream.
Right.
Or you don't even have to have another dream. Like, just
right.
keep making music or just keep
right.
playing football and not kill people. I don't know.
Right.
But I just don't think that we've done a great job setting people up for, like, well, okay, Caroline, you landed this great job. What do you do for the next 10 years?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I guess just the same thing every day.
Right.
Okay, great.
Right. What do you do when you don't want to go to meetings and you don't
right.
want to spend, like, extra hours working
yeah,
and stuff
you just,
like that?
And for me, I just go into this place of, like, well, you just do it anyway.
Right.
But I think we've just tied so many feelings and emotions alongside of doing things because we need to.
Right.
And that's fine. They can live mutually exclusively to
right,
each other.
Right. Yes. I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways to dig in deeper and kind of look at, like, why we are based, or, you know, our goals are based around, like, more passions than things that might be super logical. Like, you
yeah.
know, every one of our children is not going to be president or
mm-hmm.
a star athlete or, I don't know, I'm trying to think of other accomplishments. I should say something that I, like,
yeah.
can't think of. Like, all of them are not going to be astronauts.
Well, and that's why I don't like, I mean, not to add a whole nother thread of conversation, I don't like when a single child, and this happens in, like, it happens around, like, church conversation a lot of, like, that kid's a world changer. That kid's a world changer.
Oh, yeah.
They're world changers. This whole generation, they're world changers.
Right.
Well, okay, but that puts an awful lot of
yeah.
onus on, like, small children when we could also make some changes in the world.
True.
And also, I don't want my kid to feel like it's their job to change our world. I want
and
them
also,
to feel like
they
could.
If they get a job in Bank of America and can...
And there's some, like, middling analyst.
Yes. Like,
sorry, analyst.
They're
listen.
Still fine. Right. Like, that's still a good life for you.
Or if they decide not to work and what they do is dip pine cones to make sure that they're...
Right.
Go to
yeah.
guitar lessons.
Exactly.
But I think this idea of world changing...
Yeah.
Is like, I don't know, just being a good person is kind of going to change the world right now. So
right,
like,
exactly. That's really what I'm aiming for.
Like, let's all do that then.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Sorry to go off on that tangent.
That's
I
a
just
good tangent.
Found a note that I meant to include.
Yes.
Because I really hate when people say world changer.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just in general. Just
yeah.
strike it from your...
I know, I want to keep talking, but we need to wrap up. And
yeah,
now I'm
sorry.
Like, okay. Now I feel like I want to go off on expectations like that. But I don't even...
I think we just need to stop.
Yeah. I don't even know where to go from there. Anything I say is going to be a whole other rabbit hole. So what do you think? Weigh in.
Yeah, let us know.
Rabbit trail, not rabbit hole.
It's fine.
It's so early.
It's good.
Well, we'll be right back. So awkward.
Okay. Disney Plus sounded like a good idea.
Big fan.
Okay. I'm still landing somewhere in the middle. I love the access to everything that we have.
Right.
However, well, for one thing, my kids are really into Minnie's Bowtoons right now.
Right.
Which are 3-minute shorts.
Okay, the shorts availability on Disney actually kills me, because I'm like, I need 3 minutes. I need longer time.
Yes. So that's how many Botoons. They have not given Minnie her fully slated series like they've given Mickey.
First of all, patriarchy. Yeah. So that's annoying.
Freaking mouse.
I know.
Secondly, these 3 minutes, and then it takes like another 30 seconds for the next episode to load. And I'm like, we could have been watching literally anything else.
Right.
But they really like it, which is fine.
Apparently, Walt Disney was like a Nazi misogynist. So. And now we suffer today. So thank you, Walt.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll talk. See you next week.
Sympathizer, Nazi sympathizer, and misogynist.
Well, I was about.
Google that on your own. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll link something. that's what this episode will be called. Perfect. Well, I was about to talk about on Disney Plus how we have access to old movies like the original Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
And I let my 5-year-old watch that, and it took us for a
crazy deep
trip.
I still don't watch that.
Well, we also all watched Dumbo. So again, thanks Disney for those like lighthearted fun movies.
Not great.
Yeah, so they're loving playing Dumbo. But when we were just talking about mice, I just remembered there's a mouse that currently lives in our home. And we see it and hear it.
Okay.
It comes up like in our oven.
Right. They do that.
Yes. And we've seen like the poop on the top of our stove, but we keep forgetting to put it on
top of the oven. Yes.
I don't like to kill things. I especially do not want to put a trap anywhere.
Yeah.
Either Jane Ellis would somehow find it and
100%
get stuck. And
like a glue trap. That would live on her.
Yeah. Yes. Or like a kill trap that would like get on her foot. Like,
right.
I don't know.
And then child services is coming.
For sure. But a live trap I'm okay with.
Okay. Yes.
So that's fine. But we just keep forgetting to set it. So I made the stupid mistake of telling my kids about the mouse. Like in a guess what I saw last night?
Yeah.
Like this is so cute. Look at this little mouse. And I did like a little impression of it because I do see it sometimes, but I've never caught it. Well, now all they want to do is hunt for the mouse. And Norbeth has come down now at least 3 times at like 11:30 if I'm sitting on the couch
like,
have we found the mouse yet? Can I wait up and find the mouse? And is like fully invested in this mouse. And
well, now you can't kill it.
Obviously now.
You have to cage it.
Now like I've made it a pet.
Like any normal.
Yes, I need to domesticate it. It's a thing. So now I'm like, okay, what do we do about this mouse that she believes is like our pet.
She's like, oh, Minnie Mouse is here.
Right.
No Anna
Blair's afraid of it.
Sure.
Having never seen it. She just doesn't like the idea of it because I showed her the poop one time. Again, Mike and moron to be like, look what I found.
Handle this without them.
Why do I feel like I need to like make this like a homeschooling discovery day?
Right.
Like, look what we have.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Nature is happening in front of us.
Yeah, this is why I can't ever tell my children the truth about what's going on. I'm like, don't you want to watch more Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah.
Like, that's where your reality should be.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we have going on is they think this mouse is our pet. We keep forgetting to trap it.
I'm going to recommend you switch to the other shorts that are available.
Instead of Disney.
To try and distract them from the fact that a mouse lives in their house.
Yeah, we need to watch anything but Mickey. But Jane Ellis can say Minnie Mouse and it's the cutest thing
well,
I've
ever
that's
heard. Adorable.
Yeah.
Well, in general, we've taken a lot of paths here today.
Sorry about that.
But
Rabbit Trail was what made me think about Alice in Wonderland.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because she did go down the rabbit hole to get there.
Oh, and there you go. So when I said rabbit hole, it was fine.
It was all a whole big segue.
I planned it. I will never watch Alice in Wonderland again.
It is weird.
It's
AF.
So trippy.
And she was like asking me like, what's that? I'm like, I literally don't know.
I don't know.
And she's like,
a
what's
card
happening?
That's walking around.
But you know what? Dumbo is horrible.
Oh, yeah. I won't watch that either.
I mean, it's ultimately a feel-good story, but it is heartbreaking. And then she's like, why are the grown-up elephants being so mean to that baby? And I'm like,
right.
I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Why was this a kid's movie?
I don't know. Do you want to talk about Nazi misogyny? Because that will get us started.
Right. Exactly. Well, apparently there's a lot of – I think they've changed it in Disney Plus now – as they've changed a couple things, but like there's a lot of elements of racism in that original movie. And I think it was like with monkeys or something.
In Dumbo?
Yeah. They've changed it, I think.
Huh.
They've edited a lot of these older movies.
Yeah.
To make them appropriate.
A little less problematic.
I mean, or they've put in the beginning, like in the beginning of Lady and the Tramp, the cartoon, I think they've added a note that talks about, like, because the Siamese cat rendition is...
Well, obviously, we've also watched that because we've only watched, like, horrible, sad movies.
Well, because you're like, oh, let's watch these movies from my childhood. And then you're like, oh, my gosh.
This is awful. They really, really, really want to watch Bambi. And really? I, like, won't. That's my line.
Yeah. Oh, Bambi. Bambi's your line. Okay.
But we did watch Lady and the Tramp. And I obviously knew the scene about with the Siamese cats. But watching it, I was like, yikes. This is, like,
that was my absolute favorite movie. That's why in the live action version is almost a shot for shot remake.
Yeah.
Except they change out they're not Siamese cats. They're other kind of cats. And they have that song is completely different.
They don't sing the song "We Are Siamese," right? If you please.
Yeah. And they don't have like very like
offensive accents,
like faces and stuff like that. But so, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well,
it just is.
Well, continue to explore Disney Plus, but please watch at your own risk. Because
yeah, watch without kids. In
or following up on, you know, a couple weeks ago, pre-screen.
Right.
I don't know. Watch it before.
Oh, man. All right. Well, and on that note, we'll see you here next week.
Yep.
Have a good week. Tell your friends about us.
Bye.